For those who will be live streaming, welcome. I have enjoyed watching my brother grow spiritually, serving as my assistant, one of my assistant pastors. I count his counsel to be very wise because he stops and thinks before he speaks in our meetings and the things that we're discussing. And that's his approach to the gospel. He reads it, he thinks, then he delivers. I know he wants to serve. I saw the excitement before he went to camp. I saw the excitement when he came home from serving at camp. And he kept saying in our discussions this morning, as brief as it was, well, I'll have to tell you about that tonight. Well, I'll have to tell you about that tonight. Well, I'll have to tell you about that later tonight instead of now. So I know he's full of things, and we'll let him deliver whatever message he has for us. Our speaker, our brother Gary.
Thank you, Jim. Well, some of you may have seen me, and my face of excitement might be a little different today than it was over a week ago. We've had a long journey and a lot of traveling time and a lot of work, and it was not easy work. It was new to me, and there was a lot to learn, and it was an excellent experience, and I was truly blessed by the Lord and all the endeavors that we encountered during that trip. But I'd like to start off and say good evening to each and every one of you, those that are live streaming. Hello out there. It's good to be back home. It's good to be back home here among my friends and family. It's good to see my family. They miss me. I miss them. But it's kind of neat to understand, kind of get a little taste of how the ministry goes out. And they go out for months on end, and they do all this work for the Lord, and they go to places that are difficult to go to. They really have a lot of trials in their lives that we really don't think about. And I just got a little tip of the iceberg on this trip to see, you know, what they endure. And it's enduring. It definitely is. You have to have the motivation. You have to have the Spirit of the Lord with you to be able to overcome some of the things that you take on as a natural man. When you're out there and you're in the field, being weary, being tired, you got to watch those things that you say and do, because when you do get tired and weary, you know, you let your physical body get the best of you and mentally also. But with the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord working with you in your life, it's neat to see how you can overcome that and how you can continue to reach out to people and to show them that love that Christ has and how he's brought that in your lives and how you're willing to share that with other people that you encounter, new faces that you meet every day, I'm sure. Being able to witness baptisms and the Lord touching people's hearts in places that, you know, I have never even thought of going before, and I'm sure some of the ministry has never even thought of going before. It's truly an honor to be able to actually get a little taste of that and to experience it and to be able to fellowship with my brothers, Glenn and Adam, as we were driving and doing a lot of road time. You know, it's truly neat how difficult things can be, but yet when your brothers are there with you to support you, how easy it can actually be. Even though the two don't go together, difficult and easy, it's kind of funny how the Lord makes it work and makes it to where you can be able to accomplish those things that he sets you out to do, and be able to come home and to get some rest and to be able to come here and share those things with you. That's what I wanted to do today. And, you know, my brother Glenn and my brother Adam stood up this morning and they had testimonies to give. And I'm sure some of you thought it was pretty, I wouldn't say awkward, but probably were wondering whether or not I was going to stand up and give a testimony. Well, I figured I was going to be speaking tonight, so I'll just hold on to those. And there was many a testimonies that I have, and I thought that I would share with you some of those here with you tonight. And I want to kind of run you through some of the things that we did while we were there, some of the experiences I encountered and observed, and how neat it was to watch everybody that was there have a part in this, and what it takes to be able to bring these kids together and to bring them, to show them the gospel of the Lord, to be able to give them an understanding of, you know, some of the things that they're facing. And it was really neat to be able to watch everybody and each part that they have, each role that they have, to be able to give to them that little piece of something that they had experienced in their lives to help them out in theirs, because it's truly important that we do that, and it's truly a blessing for the Lord to be able to bring us to a place where we can gather these young adults and some of these kids still. It's the way I look at them, the 12, 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds, they're going to be experiencing all these things in life, and how we can give them the upper hand and the tools that they need to be able to see these things coming, because when you see something coming, you can be that much more prepared for it. And that's what we were wanting to do. That was kind of my goal. Aside from that, to be able to gain some understanding of what it takes to teach a class and to be able to corral and keep the attention of a lot of young teenagers, because as my brother Adam was saying, it's kind of like herding cats. And we were truly blessed that, you know, we didn't really have to deal with that much this time. And it was my first time, as a matter of fact. And the camp has been going for 25 years, and, you know, to experience it for my first time, it was really a neat blessing that everything kind of fell in order the way that I should say that I wanted it, and it wasn't going to be the way I expected it, but it turned out to be much more than that. And so I wanted to start off and say that, you know, when we got there, we had a Sunday morning service, and it was a little sacrament service that we had with all the staff and the ministry there, and it was a really, really spiritual sacrament service. And I was sitting there, and I was looking around, and as we were contemplating the reason why we were there and what we were doing, the theme of it seemed to be, and it was, that it wasn't about us. It wasn't about us at all. All those things that we have, we were setting those aside, and we were attending to the needs of all the campers that were coming. And I thought it was really neat how that, when we were standing up and asking for prayers for any of those individuals that needed it, you know, it was, no prayers were requested. It was, let us focus on these campers that are coming. And I thought that was really neat, because I have never experienced a service where it was solely for one purpose that we were going to kneel down into a season of prayer for. And it came into my mind that how in Acts chapter 2, everyone was in one accord. And I thought all of us were in one accord at that time. And I truly felt that the Lord had blessed us in that service and had our minds come together and be focused on the task at hand. And as my brother also, Adam was giving me a lot of advice. I'm going to give him a lot of credit for this, and he deserves it, because, you know, he's a trooper. He's been there. He's done that, and he was helping me out quite a bit to be able to understand some of the things I needed to know going into this. And he was telling me, you know, this isn't, because I wanted to do all these things right out of the gate. And he's like, hang on. It's not a sprint. This is a marathon. There's going to be a lot of things going on. So, you know, I know you want to go gangbusters right out of the gate, but just, you know, take it easy. Take a little bit at a time, and you'll see, come towards Wednesday and Thursday, how you conserving your energy and focusing on those things that we need to do and accomplish, you know, you'll be that much better in doing so if you just be patient and you take it in strides and do those things that we are needing to do. And I wanted to start off here. I also apologize, because usually I take a lot of time to prepare for a service, but with everything that has happened, we jumped in the car and left Friday at 2 o'clock, drove straight through the night, and got here yesterday at, I think, like 2. No, it was early in the morning. It was like 8, 9 o'clock. And I took two naps yesterday, two three-hour naps, and I went to bed early and slept all through the night. I'm still feeling weary from it, but I still made time and found time to be able to kind of put my thoughts together here, so I apologize if I'm going to be reading down on this tablet here quite a bit, because usually I get it all together. I have it lined up and ready to go for you guys. And I wanted to start off with when I arrived there, and, you know, the bus was coming at 2:30, and it was kind of getting to that point. We kind of got everything taken care of, and we had everything ready to go, and all we were doing is waiting. And my brother turns to me, and he says, "So, do you got a lot of butterflies and twists and turns in your stomach yet?" And I was kind of like, "No, I think I got this, but, you know, I'm not knowing what to expect." And then I see the bus roll up, and here they are, you know, because he's been there, and he knows this. And, you know, I'm starting to get a little anxiety, because I see all these kids looking out the bus window, and it was kind of neat, because I was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, not knowing what to expect. But as I'm looking at these kids when they're pulling up, I'm kind of seeing the same thing in their faces too. And sure enough, when the bus doors open, we're all lined up there on the sidewalk where they pile out. We put our hands out from the high-five us, clapping for them. And you could just see the look on their faces. It was kind of like, I know where they're coming from because, you know, they had a little bit of, they were a little reserved. You know, they, yeah, okay, I'll high-five you kind of thing. And I don't really know you, but you look kind of weird with that facial hair. And, you know, you could tell they were uncomfortable, a little bit scared, a little bit out of place, you know. And I kind of felt the same way, too. I was kind of relating where they're coming from. They're some of these new kids, 12-year-olds, they left home. They're going to be gone for the week. They're not used to this. It's new to them. And, you know, what's going to happen? You know, am I going to need to go back home? And am I going to be able to survive with all these big, mean-looking men staring down at us with their hands out wanting me to touch it? But, you know, we got out of that, and we made it through, and we were all there. We greeted them, and I would say that there was probably, I don't know, I would say 15 of the kids that I knew. I probably knew about 15 of their names. I think there was 52 kids, about roughly 52, 55 kids. And so, you know, I'm feeling like the sixth wheel in this party here because, you know, Adam's just like, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? To all these kids and a lot of the CITs, the counselors, and the ministry there knew all these families, the kids. Some of the moms were dropping them off. I'm just kind of like, yeah, how you doing? Yeah, hi, I'm Gary. And, you know, it was a little uncomfortable, but, you know, I dealt with it. So I'm going to come back to that. So just remember that I knew about 15 of their names out of about 52, 55, because I kind of put myself to the test at this point. I was like, you know, I'm going to make it a point to try to remember as many names as I can with these campers here, because I thought it was important. We have to get out of our comfort zone and try to get to know these kids, and it takes effort in doing that. You know, it takes us to be able to go the extra distance to reach out there. And so the whole purpose of the camp, as my brother was saying earlier, was the armor of God. And my sermon isn't going to be particularly on that, but it's going to relate to it. And, you know, as we were teaching these classes and trying to shove all this information into these kids and trying to do it in a meaningful manner to where they would retain it, you know, it was a lot of work. And it took a lot of the ability to communicate to get these things across to them so they would understand it. And we had to do exercises so they would be able to not only understand it, but to retain it. That's what we wanted. Adam and I, in our classes, we wanted them to retain this information because it was so important, it was so vital to them when they were to leave the camp, what they were going to see and what they were going to face. And we figured if we could do that, we accomplished our goal. And so we were trying to make it a point that, you know, every part of this armor of God is an intricate part in a battle, a spiritual battle that we encounter, and how every part plays a role in that. And if we don't have every single part, piece of that armor on, we're going to have a weak point. We're going to have inefficiency to be able to battle the adversary and all those things that we encounter. So we were all working together as groups, as the ministry. There was three classes, and we covered the different parts of the armor of God. And I thought it was really neat because I kind of visualized it and compared it to that body of Christ. And every person at that camp was part of the body of Christ, and how intricate each person was in that part of the body. And a lot of the help that was there, we had the counselors, the CITs, and the ministry, but we had other help that was helping around there too. And how I learned and developed the importance of those things, some of them in a hard way, other than, you know, learning it, you know, just kind of, oh, yeah, okay, that is. I actually had to experience it, and I'll share that with you. But it was kind of a funny little scenario that played out, and I'll share that with you in a little bit. But our experiences played a key role to help them understand and to share with them our experiences in life of the things that we encountered and that we ran into that were not of God, and how with us experiencing those things, how we wanted to let them know those things that they were going to encounter that they're going to come into that are going to be similar to what we did. And even worse so in this day and age that we live in. Even worse for them, because there are so many more things out there that are out there that can't pull them away from God and can distract them and be stumbling blocks in their way. And so we were all a part of that, and we were all working very diligently to be able to help them understand those things and retain it. And it's kind of like this morning, our sister Debbie, she gave a testimony about the bread and how it didn't have that one key ingredient to keep it together. And maybe some of you, as you were reaching for the bread and partook of it, you notice how it crumbled apart. And I was in our service prior to the camp, you know, somebody had mentioned that all the staff that was there was the catalyst. We're the catalyst to bring these campers together and to bond them together and to keep them together as a body of Christ. And it was really neat how Debbie gave that testimony. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to use that in my sermon tonight, because it's kind of the same way in our lives as the body of Christ. All the key ingredients are important. Every ingredient is important to make the body, the bread of Christ, come together and to stay together. And if we have some of those ingredients missing, one or two, it's just not complete. It's not whole. There's missing parts in it, and it's not what it's designed to be. And how important that is, that we remember those things, retain those things, and understand those things, and to get understanding of those things so that we can share those with those that are in our lives, that are around us. And it was really neat also to be immersed in with these kids, to see and to hear their life experiences and things that they are encountering and the questions that they ask. And we'll go down that road too, but I just wanted to note that these kids were really asking good, intelligent, mature questions. And it was really neat to see kids that age asking questions like that. You know, when I was that age, probably those questions probably weren't even something I thought about. And it was really to see these kids developing as we were there and being serious about the camp when it was time to be serious. Yeah, we had fun and we did a lot of things that were fun. We'll go into detail of some of those things. And I was the prime example of a lot of the fun things for being the first time counselor there. And you know, I received a lot of that, but it's good to do that because, you know, as my brother was saying, when you put yourself in that position to show these kids that you're vulnerable and that you can let yourself go and have fun in a godly way, in a Christian sort of way, you know, we did a lot of goofy things, and to not be uptight and think that we were above that, for the kids to see that, what a difference that makes for them to come and to open up to you. And I think it's the same way here, you know, we have to put ourselves out there. You know, there was a lot of things that I did that I felt uncomfortable with, but we have to put ourselves out there and to take those challenges of being uncomfortable, because the rewards for it in the long run are they're abundant. There's so many things that those that you're trying to reach out to, that if you could put them, yourself on their level and do those things and relate to those things that they're doing, how much easier it is to be able to open up those lines of communication to talk about those things that are serious. And when they have a serious question, they could come to you and they can know that they can ask you about these things, and you'll get a trust built, and you'll develop that bond to where they can open up to you. And with that, I wanted to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm pretty sure some of you are probably thinking I was going to go here. These are some of my favorite verses I like to read over and over again, because I really look at us, you know, when I come here as a body of Christ, and how important it is that we're all focused on, that we all have a role in the Lord's work. And I wanted to start in chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 12 through 27. And as I go through here, I'll probably stop and talk about a couple things or experiences that we have had. So I'm going to start in chapter 12, verse 12. And it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And that's kind of how I saw the camp and how I see the church here as our local. You know, there's many different members in the body, but we all have a role. We all have a part. And we all have an understanding of that, that we all are intricate in keeping this body together. We're all a key ingredient to this body of Christ. And it says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And that's, I think, something that we need to understand as a critical part, too. That the Lord, he gives each and every one of us talents. And the Lord sets those talents within us. And we have to realize and understand and see those talents that the Lord gives us and be able to use them and be capable of using them. I think the Lord, honestly, gives us all opportunities. I really do. And because we're given an opportunity, that doesn't necessarily mean that we always take it. It's up to us to be able to see that opportunity and to seize that opportunity. I think all of us have multiple opportunities in life for multiple different things. But when it comes to the gospel of Christ, I think the Lord really touches us. He touches our lives. And he lets us know that we have an opportunity. And then we have to make that decision. Am I going to take this opportunity and do something with it? Or did something just happen over here that I want to go do because it sounds cool to do, and I would rather do that than have to, you know, work with somebody because it's hot out. My point is that when you feel that the Lord is working with you in your life and he gives you that opportunity, make sure you take it. And the rewards from it are so great, so neat, that when you accomplish those things that he gives you and those opportunities that he puts before you, that you look back and your eyes are open and your ears are open and you hear the testimonies and you see those rewards, the fruit of the Lord, how he has worked in your life to bless somebody else. And it's truly a neat thing when you have all these little campers running around and you begin to gel and to mold with them and you see how the Lord's working with you to be able to reach out to them and to be able to help them have understanding of the things that they need in their life. It's really an interesting thing to watch and to see and to unfold. And my hat's off to, you know, the ministry, Brian, Dwayne, Don, Jay, any of the ministry that go out there and do these things for the Lord, because they see Hubert, they see their gym, the rewards from it. You know, they see all these things that the Lord accomplishes through you as an instrument. And it's a really neat thing to be able to see. And I actually got to experience that in this atmosphere that we were in. And it says here, I'll start in verse 19 again. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And then those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to tell a little story. I want to read this one more time. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And so they asked me to do a little sermonette after Tuesday night campfire. And it was an honor to do it. And I wanted to bring something there that I can also help the kids get, which was I thought that them seeking for wisdom was important. And a lot of people relate somebody being wise to somebody being old. And it's not the case. These kids, the campers, you know, they could gain this wisdom and this knowledge. And so I went through this whole thing with them about Proverbs and how if we have any of life's questions, how it really helps out real quick. You want to see some of those things that you need to learn about, Proverbs is a good place to go. And so I talked to them about that, and I finished up that little sermonette. And I told the campers, you know, just kind of like how I tell each and every one of you here, that, you know, I love you, and I pray for you, and I care about you. Well, I told all the campers that all of us here, I love you, we love you, all the way from the staff members in the ministry at the top down to the cooks. And boy, I got myself in trouble on that one. And it was kind of funny because the next morning I woke up and I went to the cafeteria after we had our meeting in the morning, and I get in line in the food line, and there's the staff members, or the campers actually serve in the morning. And so I go up, and the first thing you get is juice. And I get a half cup of juice, and the little girl, I believe it was Avery, was, "Here, Gary, here's your juice." And like, you have all of them down on the table, and she hands me one personally, and it's a half a cup of juice. And I'm like, okay, well, I wanted the full one, but I'll just take this and come back. And then it's biscuits and gravy, and I'm like, oh, yeah, biscuits and gravy, I'm on this, because that's like my favorite breakfast. And so I go over to the biscuits, and there's another girl standing there. I can't remember who they were because I was just too busy, like, shaking my head. She's like, "Would you like some biscuits?" And I, yeah, give me a biscuit. And she gives me half of the top of a biscuit and puts it on my plate in the middle. And I'm like, I look around, and I see Craig over there, and I see some of the lunchroom or the kitchen staff standing there watching me, just like, yeah, okay. And so I'm like, okay, I think I know what's going on here. I go over to the gravy, and she said, "Would you like some gravy?" And I said, "Yes, please, give me some." "I'd like some gravy." She gives me one tablespoon of gravy. I go over, and there's the fruit, and the girl says, "Would you like some grapes?" "Yes, please, I'd like some grapes, thank you." And I get one grape. And then the cantaloupe, the same thing. And I had to look over there at the staff, and they're just like staring me down, and I'm like, oh, brother. So I go and sit down. And, you know, I knew right then what was going on, and I sat down. And they were having a little bit of fun with me. And Nathan Brown actually came up to me, and he said, "You know, you're not supposed to put the cooks at the bottom. You're supposed to put them at the top. You always got to remember, they're the ones who keep this all going here. They're the ones who feed us." And then I just realized at that time, and they brought me a whole plate of food, but I thought it was really comical. So I wanted to share that with you. And I learned my lesson on that when I redeemed myself, too. But once again, it says, "And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular." And I wanted to go back to verse 25 and go over that and how that there should be no schism in the body. And how important that was at our staff meetings, that we got together every morning at 6:45 and we discussed what was going on with the campers. Now, we're discussing what's going on with the body of Christ, you know? Who's having issues? What's going on? Do we need to make sure we pay attention to any certain individuals that need extra care? And those things were brought out because there's going to be issues as the days go on and people get tired. But I really thought that that was neat, that we were all focused on these campers still and how we were making sure that there was no schism in the body, because we wanted to make sure that every person there had that camp experience that they so deserved, that the Lord was there for them, that they got that spiritual experience, and that there was no schism, that there was no stumbling blocks, there was no backbiting, there was no rumors, none of that stuff. So those things we had to deal with as the ministry and as the counselors and CITs, and it was important that we did that. And, you know, that was another thing that I experienced. There was a young lady there that had an issue with another young lady, and you know, she was coming to me quite a bit, and, you know, she was a teenager, and my daughter isn't there yet. So I think you guys could put the two things together here. I'm like, wow, this is my real first experience with a young lady having problems. And so, you know, I took it upon myself, because I think that if somebody comes to you and they have issues, you need to take ownership of it. And that's the thing, is they're coming to you because they know that they can trust you. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, this girl, she's trusting me. And I need to take this. I need to fix it for her, because she was struggling. She wanted to go home. And I didn't want to see that. I wanted her to have that awesome experience that, you know, we were seeing with the other campers. And so not only did it, I take personal control of it and take ownership of it, but, you know, I figured I was going to need a little bit of help because these issues are kind of difficult to deal with if you never had to deal with them before. So I asked the nurse that was there, Elizabeth, that if she could assist me in it because she kind of knew what was going on too because she was the counselor for that girl's dorm or their, whatchamacallit, their thing. But anyways, I'm tired. I just want you guys to know that. Boy, sleep is like precious to me right now. I couldn't wait to get home to the Tempur-Pedic. But back on track, yeah, because they're like beds come out from the prisons and, you know, and I'm not kidding about that either. Those were prison bunks. And it, you know, after 4 days on them, I was like, where's my Tempur-Pedic? But, you know, it was really neat. I know I'm getting off track a little bit, and I'm sorry for that. But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, we sat the girl down and listened to her issues, and we got the girl out of the class that she was in that she was having issues with. We all sat down at the table, discussed those issues, and it was really neat because, you know, the girl that was offended for no reason. And I think it was basically because a lot of people were tired. And she was taking things that the other girl was telling her out of context. And she really wasn't meaning that because when the other girl was sitting there, she was apologetic up and down about how she didn't mean it like that. And they worked everything out. And it was really good because not only did we bring it to the light and have an understanding, but the rest of the time at the camp, those two girls, they were close. They fixed it. And it was really neat to see that and how that worked. And Elizabeth, she made a, it's Elizabeth Gaynor, isn't it? Yes, Elizabeth Gaynor. I told her I would use this in my sermon, you know, because she was telling the girls that, you know, even if there was a problem, you know, don't dwell on it. Do what you have to fix it at that time so it doesn't tear you apart in the future. And she made a good analogy that, you know, when we're driving in a car, we're not looking in the rearview mirror the whole time. If we're looking in the rearview mirror, we're going to crash the car, get in an accident. We're not going to be able to see where we're going. And you're missing the whole picture because when you look out the windshield, you know, you get to see everything ahead of you. But you can't look in the rearview mirror the whole time because you're dwelling in the past. And I told her, I said, that is a very good comment, and I'm going to use that in my sermon. And I think it fits the whole situation that we were in and how we can relate to that in our own lives. You know, if you have a problem with a brother or a sister, go to them. Go to them and fix it. You know, bring a minister with you. Ask for help. That's what the body is all about. You know, it's about being there for one another and helping each other and growing stronger from that. Because most of the time, it's because of reasons that don't even exist. And who causes that confusion? It's the adversary. He wants us to have those hurtful feelings in our lives. But really, it's kind of neat when you see it come to the light how it never even existed. It was all just a misconception, you know. We were just all just kind of letting our emotions get the best of us, and we let ourselves do that from time to time. And we have to be careful with that, and we have to make sure that we're staying focused on what the Lord has for us. I'm going to go to Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read chapter 2. It's 15 verses here. It's a few pages over to the right from Corinthians. And it says here, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that can not be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them with well in all things, not answering again, not purloining but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And that's where the armor of God comes in. And that's where we were trying to show these kids that, you know, there's going to be a battle that you each encounter, and how important it is that we teach them those things and give them those tools to where their sword is sharp, to where their shield is prepared, and to where they know the truth of the gospel to be able to be prepared for the battle that they encounter. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now I'm going to go back to verse 14. And he causes us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And you know, this doesn't mean that we can't have fun. This doesn't mean that we can't laugh and that we can have joy and celebrate things and have that joyful heart. We had plenty of fun when we were at the camp. There was so many things that the kids got to do. And one of the things I wanted to make sure was, and I kept asking, is, are you having fun? You know, are you learning something? That's important. That's the key thing we're doing here. But we want to make sure that they're having fun. And I think with a lot of the things, and I give my hats off to Amanda and Stephen for some of the activities that they were doing, it got the ministry and the CITs and the counselor involved with the kids. And I actually got involved with some of the kids and some of the activities, and got to make myself look a little foolish in front of them at times, thanks to my brother-in-law here. But, you know, one of them was in particular was first-time CITs, counselors, and any of the ministry that was there for the first time. There was it was a 25-year anniversary, so they lined us all up front at the campfire, and they had a series of questions on camp history for the first-time campers. So any answer we got wrong, they shoved a marshmallow in our face, and we had to continue on until we couldn't continue on no more. But, you know, it's all out of good fun. It was a fun time. The kids were laughing because as you get more marshmallows in your face and your mouth, the harder it is to talk, and you try to answer, and it was just really goofy. And it was to the point to where, you know, you just can't take it no more, and you got to spit them out, and the kids think that's all funny. And the other one was, you know, what was it? It was, I was up there, and it was a contest to see who can dress the two-year-old the fastest. And that was throwing a fit, let me add to that. And my two-year-old was Adam here. And it was the most comical thing that I've had the pleasure of doing in a long time. Because, you know, even though it was kind of goofy and embarrassing, it opened the kids up. And I think that's why they were doing this, because, you know, when you can put yourself into those positions and have a little fun, you know, it shows those campers that they can talk to you because you're not up here, you know. You're down here with them. You're getting in there, and you're having fun with them. And I think that's really important that we understand that. And it creates that bond, and once again, it creates that trust that we have in it. And so what that did is, you know, then there's a little bit of downtime during the day, and we have a cabin time. So we get invited to go to the different cabins and to discuss some of the questions that they have, which earlier I said were very mature questions, and it was questions that were about the gospel and about real life and real life experience that some of these kids are actually facing and the difficulties that they're facing. And it was really neat to be able to go in there and to, I can't remember the word I'm looking for, but to open up to them and let them know that they can tell me those things without involving anybody else. It's just between us, and it's not going to go anywhere. Don't be embarrassed about it. You know, let's talk about those things, because if you're having problems, we want to help you take care of them. I can't help you take care of them if I don't know them. And a lot of these kids opened up, and there are some serious problems that, you know, these young men have and young women have to deal with in this day and age, and we need to be aware of that, and we need to be understanding of that, because, you know, a lot of times when we don't make ourselves open to them, then they're not even going to come in and approach us, you know, to discuss those things that are important that could be detrimental to their spiritual wealth, salvation, and their spiritual welfare. And it's important that we have that openness between ourselves and them. And how rewarding that is when you see their eyes open up and see that, you know, you're sharing your life experiences when you were their age, of the things that you were going through and where it took you and how it took you down. But the Lord brought you back up to a place now to where we can help them and help them be able to make it through these difficult times. I'm going to go to the third book of Nephi, chapter 6. Boy, Adam said I'd have plenty of material, and he was not wrong. So I'm going to try to cover this. Yeah, we'll be good. So let me go to the third book of Nephi, chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 19 through 24. And it says, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And I thought that this was good, sound spiritual advice to give them, to teach them what's important, to teach them that, you know, if somebody asks for you for help, don't just turn them away. Don't set them aside. You know, take the time. And that's the one thing we find the hardest thing to find is time. Take the time to be able to let this sink in that somebody's asking you for help and that they need guidance and direction, and give them that which they need. You know, give them that sound advice. Give them a hand in anything that they need for their schooling, to help them look for a job. Give them that time that they deserve, and how richly you will be blessed to be able to help that person change his life for the good of the gospel, for the good of the Lord, to be able to be fruitful for the Lord, to be able to help them have that understanding that we here as the body, we're not just about ourselves. You know, it's not about us serving ourselves. We're here to serve each other. And that doesn't just mean that we serve the people within this room that are of the body of Christ. We need to be reaching out to those that are not the body and to touch their lives and to show them what the Lord has for them and be putting that effort in that and being fruitful for the Lord for that endeavor. And I was kind of surprised at how many of those kids weren't baptized. And it was, you know, there's a lot that are, but there's a lot that aren't. And I don't want to see any of those campers miss out on the opportunity of the beautiful things that the Lord can have in their lives. So when I was communicating with them, I was trying to really speak from my heart and what the Lord wanted me to do. You know, and it's really, it could be difficult to do that. But the Lord gives you the power and the ability to say those things that are difficult to say and make it easy. So they can see that, you know, hey, that guy was hurt, you know, when he was my age. He went through these difficult times. You know, he shared that with me. He made it personal. And it's important that we understand that even though things like that are difficult and we don't want to bring ourselves down, sometimes we need to do that and be humble and to let them know that those things that we have encountered in our lives, you know, it's a fact of life. It's a natural thing that people are going to encounter all these things that are out there, the filth, the garbage, the alcohol, the drugs. These are just natural facts of life, the language, all this stuff. Each and every one of us deal with it on a daily basis and have dealt with it. But to show our true colors and how we deal with it and to help them understand that, yeah, it's going to be there, but the armor of God is there for you to be able to overcome those things and still be a person that is godly and to be righteous, it's not impossible. We all know that. It's not impossible. Anything with God in our lives is possible. We just have to be there and ask Him for the help. We have to be there to share our experiences one with another and to give that sound advice for them. And I said I was going to share a few testimonies that I had at the camp. The whole camp was a testimony in itself, just the amazing work that goes on there and be able to be isolated from the world and the things of it and the routines and to be involved with people's lives that you don't even know and how good you can get to know them in such a quick and short amount of time. And it's really neat. And that's a testimony in itself. And one of the things really that I wanted to stand up and say is, you know, I had the senior campers. It was Rhodes, Chris, Weiss, Weeks, and Trent Oldham. And it was really neat to see those guys. And it was a pleasure and a great opportunity that I took to try to get these guys' frames of mind set to where when we went out and did morning devotions, that they are passing the torch. They're going to no longer be campers, but they're going to be CITs next year. I wanted them to give the campers a good experience, and it's a little bit of a difficult task to be able to get the kids to really get out there and open up with their emotions, especially to senior campers, to the younger campers. But I told them that it was important that you do that because you guys are setting examples. And I said that just like I say to you guys all the time, these 12, 13, 14-year-olds, they look up to you. They see what you guys are doing. And what you do right now at this time is going to show them, and it's going to set the bar of how they're going to act when they come into that position that you're in. And it was really a true testimony and a blessing to see them stand up there in the morning devotions. It's at the flagpole. Everybody stands around it, and you and your campers from your cabin go up to the flagpole, and you give a testimony. You can sing a song. But they gave them a testimony and advice about, you know, how good the camp experience was for them in their lives and how it's helped them and how they're going to use that to pass on to the younger guys. And I was very appreciative of that and wanted to say that was one of the testimonies that I heard that was really good. There was another one. There was a young boy. His name was Isaac. And he was like one of those young individuals that probably had a hard time when he first got there. He was sitting by himself. I went up to him, introduced myself. But it was truly a blessing to be able to see my senior campers working with him, helping him out, getting him involved. And it really sunk in to me that, you know, because he was really standoffish at first, didn't really want to talk. And it was a really true blessing to be able to see him in Adam's class, the Absolute Truth, on our last day. I didn't have a chance to be there the second day because I was dealing with the one issue. But the last day I walked in there, and he asked me to if I could sit by him that day. And I was floored by that. I said, "You bet, buddy. I'll sit there with you." And it was a joy, and it was really a blessing to be able to see that individual, you know, trusted in me. He trusted in me, and he knew that I would be there for him, and he wanted to sit by me. And that was an awesome experience. And I think that, you know, those are the experiences that the Lord wants you to see. He wants your eyes to be open to those things and to hear those things. And there was another one. There was another young man there, and I asked him the second day how he was doing and if he was having fun. He said, no, he was bored. He wasn't having no fun. And so, you know, I brought it on myself to bring it to the attention of all the staff members at the morning meeting to help this individual out, this young man. And so on the last day, I asked him, I said, okay, young man here, I'm not going to divulge any names, on a scale of 1 to 10, how was your camp experience? And he said it was a 10. And I was like, that is awesome to know that. You know, we took care of it. We saw it. We took ownership. And we made sure that this individual had that experience that he deserved. And that was another blessing. There was another one in Adam's class. I'll mention his name. He's a good little kid. His name was Wesley. And I'm sure some of you know him out there. He had a little spunk in him, and I really liked him. And it was neat to see him interact. And, you know, one of the things that he did on the last day of that where we were there was that he wrote a note to Adam and I thanking us for how good the class was and how he learned something from it. And it was really neat to be able to see, you know, this young individual giving thanks for something that, you know, most people wouldn't even think about. And it was a really true blessing to be able to receive that from a student. So all you teachers out there, I know how you feel, you know, when these kids really appreciate that with what you do for them, because it is so much to have to do that on a daily basis. There was another individual. His name was Van, and he was an outstanding student, and I had the pleasure of having him in our class and to get to know him. And, you know, I saw something in him, and this is a true story. I saw something in him, and it was really neat because, you know, he was all for it. He was answering questions. I was like, wow, this kid's pretty knowledgeable. He knows what's going on. He's saying the prayers, and, you know, he's really participating. You know, he's kind of like putting himself out there. And, you know, being in the group of kids, Adam told me, you know, they have a difficult time because, you know, they're embarrassed to say the prayer and all that. He wasn't. He wasn't at all. And so I took time and I went up to him after the lunch one day and I said, hey, Van, you know, I really noticed you and how you're standing out. And have you thought about being baptized? And he said, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'm being baptized Saturday at the reunion. And I was like, well, that is definitely a blessing because, you know, I think you really got something and that the Lord has a work for you in your life. And it was truly a neat experience to be able to see that. Here is already one step ahead of me. At my work, I call it OSA, one step ahead. And I was like, hats off to you and be that example. I encouraged him, be that example because, you know, the Lord uses you for reasons. And if you feel that it's ready for you to take on that, then more power to you. And I saved the best for last. And, you know, I never had this experience in my life. It was a new experience to me. It was as we were wrapping up camp and everybody was kind of just getting there and waiting for the bus. All the baggages and all the luggage was loaded onto the little trailer. And, you know, I was kind of saying bye to all the kids in the camp and the campers. And some of the little girls came up to me and they said, hey, Gary, will you take a selfie with us? And I was like, oh, man, I made it. I'm in now. This is good stuff here. And, you know, they were comfortable with me. And I told them, I said, this is the first time anybody ever asked me to be in a selfie. I said, I'm all for it. So I got in there and I was doing the selfie stuff. I don't know. I probably got a little carried away because it was all exciting and whatnot. But it was fun. It was fun. And we can have that fun. And those are the kind of experiences that you have and that you can have with individuals that 7 days ago, no, it wasn't even 7 days, it was like 5 days ago, that I didn't even know. And now I looked at it, and it was the last night of campfire, and I was going around, and I was like, okay, I'm going to see how many kids' names I know now. Started counting them out because it's kind of, you know, there's rows of pews, and it's you guys know what I'm talking about. And I counted, I figured it was 52 to 55. I knew probably, I think I counted 45 that I knew. 45 of the kids that I knew in that 1 week and the time that we had that I was immersed in there with them. And they knew me, too. You know, I'm sure they all knew me because, you know, the few I didn't know, they were coming up to me and saying bye and all that stuff. And, you know, it was really a neat experience. And so those are my testimonies. I'm going to read out of the third book of Nephi on page 640 real quick. We're just going to go back one page. I'm going to read verses 110 through 112. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And, you know, it's so true. That's so true that, you know, these treasures that man seeks after, riches, gold, cars, you know, all that stuff that we've talked about in the past. You know, I am so glad I could go to my grave knowing that I've had this experience and I will continue to have these experiences in my life. And, you know, that's why I wanted to bring it here today with you guys and to share these things that I had with you. You know, it's important that we do those things that the Lord calls us to do, to share ourselves and our lives with those that are around us, you know. It's not about me. It's about those that we can serve. One last one here, Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verses, okay, I'm going to read it all. I apologize, but it's important. I'm going to read 1 through 15. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world. You know, and that's my testimony, is the experience that you have, all those things you have in life that you can have opportunities doing for the Lord. Seek those opportunities and choose to do those opportunities. You know, I have a couple last testimonies is, you know, just being able to witness the fruit that became of this camp and the hard work that was put into it every day, you know, was truly a blessing. At the last campfire, how neat it was to see the campers and how they took it seriously. This was all the kids. This wasn't the adults involved in the campfire. This was the kids. The only adult involved was Adam. And he was the one who was given a few words to speak and to kind of get everybody's minds drawn in. And it was neat to see him take it seriously. They shared testimonies, they prayed, they sung specials, and they were, most of all, they were reverent. They were reverent in the sight of the Lord, and it was really neat to experience that. It was neat to see new friendships were made, and lines of trust were created. And I put it here, but most importantly, the biggest testimony that I have of all this was to see that the campers were brought closer to God. And it was truly a blessing to be able to be a witness to that and to see it and how it works, you know. It's been 25 years that they've been doing this. I would encourage all of you that if you have the opportunity to be able to participate, take some time off and do it. It's worth every second. And you know, I wanted to thank Adam for something, but I can't remember what it was. But thank you, Adam. It was something good. And okay, I'm tired. I'm going to go home and go to bed. But may God bless each and every one of you. I thank you for your time that I've had to come here and share this experience that I had with you. And may God bless you, each and every one of you. I'll remember you in my prayers. And let us remember each other as the body of Christ. Thank you.